ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. So today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 24, the chapter entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. So let's chant the verse. Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvagne Pratyagatmani ಪರೇನಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವೇನಾ ಲಬ್ಧಾತ್ಮ ಮುಕ್ತ ಬಂಧನಃ ವಾಸುದೇವೇ ಭಗವತಿ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞೇ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗಾತ್ಮನಿ ಪರೇನಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವೇನಾ ಲಬ್ಧಾತ್ಮ ಮುಕ್ತ ಬಂಧನಃ ವಾಸುದೇವೇ ಭಗವತಿ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞೇ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗಾತ್ಮನಿ ಪರೇನಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವೇನಾ ಲಬ್ಧಾತ್ಮ ಮುಕ್ತ ಬಂಧನಃ ವಾಸುದೇವೇ ಟು ವಾಸುದೇವ ಭಗವತಿ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞೆ ಒಮ್ನಿಶಿಯಂಟ್ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗಾತ್ಮನಿ ದ ಸೂಪರ್ ಸೋಲ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಒನ್ ಪರೇನ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವೇನ ಬೈ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಲಬ್ಧಾತ್ಮ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಮುಕ್ತ ಬಂಧನ ಲಿಬರೇಟೆಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್ He thus became liberated from translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, the omniscient super soul within everyone. Purport. We can repeat the translation maybe. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, the omniscient super soul within everyone. Purport. When one engages in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, one becomes aware that his constitutional position as an individual soul is to be eternally a servitor of the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. Self-realization does not mean that because the Supreme Soul and the individual soul are both souls, they are equal in every respect. The individual soul is prone to be conditioned, and the Supreme Soul is never conditioned. When the conditioned soul realizes that he is subordinate to the Supreme Soul, his position is called Labdhatma, self-realization, or Mukta Bandhana, freedom from material contamination. Material contamination continues as long as one thinks that he is as good as the Supreme Lord or he is equal with him. This condition is the last snare of Maya. Maya always influences the conditioned soul. Even after much meditation and speculation, if one continues to think himself one with the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he is still in the last snares of the spell of Maya. The word parena is very significant. Para means transcendental, untinged by material contamination. Full consciousness that one is an eternal servant of the Lord is called parabhakti. If one has any identification with the material things and executes devotional service for attainment of some material gain, that bhakti, that is vidha bhakti, contaminated bhakti. One can actually become liberated by execution of parabhakti. Another word mentioned here is sarvagne. The super soul sitting within the heart is all cognizant. He knows, I may forget my past activities due to the change of body, but because the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is sitting within me, He knows everything. Therefore, the result of my past karma or past activities is awarded to me. I may forget, but He awards me suffering or enjoyment for the misdeeds of good deeds of my past life. One should not think that he is freed from reaction because he has forgotten the actions of his past life. Reactions will take place, and what kind of reactions there will be is judged by the super soul, the witness. So again, Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvagne Pratyagatmani Parena Bhakti Bhavena Labdhatma Mukta Bandhanaha. He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, the omniscient super soul within everyone. So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is like 3-4 chapters continuing. This is actually, Vidura is asking to Maitreya to explain the disciplic line, like, you know, the line of Swayambhuva Manu, who was a very, very great soul and who was also like the son of Lord Brahma. He's asking him to please tell the line of Swayambhuva Manu, who was a very, very great emperor and whose two great sons was Priyavrata and Uttanapada, and also the line of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Please explain to me, he's asking to Maitreya. So Maitreya is relating this full pastime here. So the renunciation of Kardama Muni, in this particular chapter especially, how Kardama is renouncing everything of everything worldly, right from the beginning of his married life, he started to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Lord Brahma instructed him to create the progeny, to procreate the universe. So from the very beginning, from the instructions he got from his father, from that very moment, he started to do penance and austerities to purify his consciousness. This is the actual culture that, like, you know, like these days, if somebody wants to have children, they just, you know, go and have children without any proper samskaras or anything. But those days, the people were so, like, perfect in their consciousness, and they were following the religious principles laid down by the Lord. And it was not like whimsically done, like Krishna says in the Gita, that in the 7.11, he says, Balam balavatam cha ham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatar sabha. He says that I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas. So Krishna says that even the sex life can be used in Krishna's service by procreating Krishna conscious children. That's what Kardama Muni, when he was told to procreate the population, he immediately started to do penance and austerities for 10,000 years on the bank of the Saraswati river. So after a long time of this penance, and he pleased, he was situated completely in devotional service in trance, and in that way he attracted the attention of the Lord, because he, with great austerities and pure heart, pure devotional service, he was in trance and he worshipped the Lord in pure heart. So the Lord was very much, so this similar situation also happened in the pastime of Daksha Prajapati, when he asked his children, Haryaswas and Savalaswas, to create the progeny. They also went to, like, this place called Narayana Saras, and on the bank of Saraswati river, they also went and did a great austerity. Why? Because they wanted to procreate and to get the good population in the society. The consciousness of the parents is very, very important. Simply having children like cats and dogs is not, like, you know, without any regulation, whimsically, is not definitely a sanskara, a proper religious principle. So he wanted to follow the exact process, like, he, from the beginning of his married life, he started like the life. He started to worship the Lord, and after doing penances and austerities for 10,000 years, the Lord was very, very pleased. And then the Lord very quickly bestows the benedictions to his devotees who are doing with pure devotional service. So the Lord appeared, and then in front of Kardama Muni, and Kardama Muni was very, very ecstatic. And he said that the sight of my perfection, now I could see you. He offered his obeisances with love. He had love of Godhead. And then he offered his obeisances to the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord. Then he said that, then the Lord was very, very pleased. And then he said that the reason that you have done this penances for 10,000 years, I know why you did. So you were wishing to have a very perfect wife. So that is why I know that, and I have already organized that for you. I have already organized for you to get a perfect wife. So now, so because you have prayed for that, I will definitely, so I have organized everything. Day after tomorrow, Swayambhuva Manu along with his wife, Satarupa, will come and approach you and for to give their daughter in hand to you. So this is, everything is so Vedic. That is what is really appreciated in this whole pastime. Everything is done so Vedically, like it was not whimsically done or anything. Like, you know, everything, the Lord was in the center. That's what it was, a perfect pastime, this one. So it's a most ideal household life. It's a perfect example as to how a husband and wife should conduct with each other, and how the regulative principles of the higher regulative principles have to be followed at every step of marriage life and having children. And before, like Kardama Muni followed perfect example of being a perfect brahmachari, perfect grihastha, perfect vanaprastha, and perfect sannyasi. At what time, what he had to do, he was perfectly in knowledge. He knew what to do when, how to engage himself at what time of his life to do what. Perfect it was. So that is a perfect example we get. Even Devahuti as a perfect wife, she was so chaste, she was full of good qualities, her character was spotless, and she was so, like, you know, so devoted to the Lord, and she prayed to the Lord also to give her a good husband. So when and apparently because she wished that, she got a very learned and beautiful, very cultured, very knowledgeable and good charactered husband she desired. So when Narada Muni came and told about Kardama Muni, she was very, very attracted. She was very attracted just by hearing from Narada Muni. She was very attracted, and she thought that this is the kind of husband I really want to marry. So that was the consciousness. Then Brahma, when the Lord came and said that I have already organized for you to get a good wife, the, like, you know, Swayambhuva Manu will come and tell. That time the Kardama Muni said that the Lord can award so many, like, you know, the Lord's lotus feet are the true vessels for people to cross over the mundane nations of this material existence. Lord's lotus feet are the true vessels to cross over the ocean of material existence. But the people who are very less intelligent, they ask for trivial momentary pleasures to the Lord, which are so insignificant. In this context, I can tell you one example. In Vrindavan, the similar thing, the Lord can benedict the eternal benefit for us to cross over the ocean of birth, death, old age, this is, and to go to the eternal abode. But people, they ask for so temporary things, which are so momentary and so temporary pleasures. In this regard, I want to tell an example about in Vrindavan. One lady, old lady, you know, in Vrindavan, most of the time it's very, very hot. And this old lady was carrying a firewood on her head. She had a bunch of firewood on her head, and it was so heavy, and she, with great difficulty, she put, and she was going, you know, walking very slowly. It was very hot. She was perspiring, and she was walking, walking, walking. At some stage, she became so tired, somehow the bunch of the sticks fell down. And she was very old. It was very hard for her to again pick that up and put it on her head. So she said, "Oh, Krishna, please come and help me. Please come and help me. I'm helpless. I have to put this bundle. Please come and help me." Lord, as very being very merciful, she called out the Lord. The Lord very mercifully came to help her out. But then, you know, she Then the Lord came and said, please tell me how can I help you? You called me to come. So please tell me how can I help you? Then she said that, can you please pick this bundle of stick and put it on my head? The Lord could have given so many more things. She could have asked so many higher things. But she just asked him to put the... So like that, this example, the Lord can benedict us with eternal... to go back home, back to God, eternal service is transcendental service. But we ask for very temporary, momentary pleasures which are like very insignificant. But still, it is said in 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, 10th verse, Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Whether one is full of desires, or whether one is has no desires at all, or desiring liberation under all circumstances, one should worship the Lord with tivrena bhakti yogena, with complete devotion. When one worships the Lord is still pleased. He does benedict everybody. Like even the four types of neophytes, like chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukruti norjana. Even though they approach the Lord with full of material desires, but the Lord is not very interested to give these benedictions, but he is interested to purify their heart. Like the example of Dhruva Maharaj and all, how he completely purified his heart. He didn't want it anything afterwards. So like that, the Lord can give so many permanent benefits, but we are asking for trivial material. And then Kardama Muni said that, I am so like, you know, I am also one such person who is desiring to have a very good wife, suitable to my disposition of my mind. No? I want to, I am asking you to please give. So he started to feel very awkward, like, you know, he's also comparing himself with one of those people who is asking. But definitely we cannot think that he is one of those people who are asking mundane, but he is asking this to the Lord to do his perfect service, to abide the order of his father Brahma, because Brahma told him to generate population. That is why, in order to do get a proper procreation, to get a proper population, he purified his consciousness for 10,000 years and he pleased the Lord. The Lord came and benedicted. So to ask for a good wife so that he get a good children, and there's nothing wrong, it's not actually material, but it is in the service of the Lord, in service of the Father and the Lord. Because good population are very, very important for the human society. That's what Arjuna says in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita as well. That good population is very, very important. The whole world is depending on the good population. If the world, otherwise it become very irreligious. No? So the consciousness of the Father is very, very important, because during the time of the conceiving, the consciousness created by the father is very, very important. That will attract the good soul. Like for example, the example of Kardama Muni, he did so much austerity, was so much in purified consciousness. When he had a child, look what sort of son he got, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead he got. Whereas on the contrary, to give another example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like the example of this Kashyapa Muni, in the evening, he was actually in meditation. He was meditating at that time. who was that? Please. Diti, she came and approached the husband. Please, like, you know, I want to have a child now. Like, he said, please, let us definitely have, no problem, but just wait. This is the most inauspicious time. We should not be doing now. We have to wait for some time. Little later, I'll definitely fulfill your desire. You want child, right? I will definitely fulfill. But just that this time is very inauspicious, because at this particular time, the ghosts, hobgoblins, the Lord Shiva will be going, you know, this is very, very inauspicious time. So please let us not do at this time. Just wait for a little while. But then the Cupid was putting an arrows and she insisted that it has to happen now. But somehow this, you know, Kashyapa Muni agreed to that. Look what the result was. The two demons were born and there's so much havoc. The whole universe became dark. Even when the children were in the womb of Diti, the whole universe became dark. How chaotic, you know. Then after birth, you have to see even more worse things started to happen. Like, you know, so much disturbance. So this is the, then every, all the demigods became very perturbed, everything became dark. Then they approached Brahma, you know, then they approached, then they said that, don't worry, these two demons are in the womb of this Diti, you know, that is what this is all happening. So these two contradictions we are seeing here. Kardamuni is so much austerity just to procreate children. He is doing so much austerity to purify, and the Lord being pleased, then he came and gave the benediction. That then the Lord said that, and then he also told that you are going to get a very, I am going to appear in the womb of your wife, Devahuti, as the son of Devahuti, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti. And he is going to teach the Sankhya philosophy to his to your wife Devahuti, like that. Then after telling all that, the Lord went away. And then soon after, the Kardama Muni, as usual, he was performing his morning duties of penances, austerities and all. And after all that, he was waiting, because the Lord had told that they would arrive. And at the right time, the time then when the Lord said, at the right time, Swayambhuva Manu along with Satarupa, they came to meet Kardama Muni along with their daughter. Beautiful daughter with good character, good qualities, and very, very gentle by nature, very beautiful looking. And they approached with the daughter. And when they came, the reception in the Vedic times was so perfect. Like the Swayambhuva Manu, he came and then he immediately offered obeisances to this Brahmana Kardama Muni. And so much good etiquette, immediately he offered obeisances with great respect. And then Kardama Muni also very nicely welcomed the Swayambhuva Manu. Please come inside and sit down. And you know, like that he was talking and offered him all respects. So this is the very good reception, like even in the first canto when we read the pastimes of Parikshit Maharaj, how he was cursed by, at that point in time, in that section of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purports, Prabhupada says that, like, you know, how receiving a guest is very, very important, that etiquette to follow these three things. Minimum these three things one has to follow. When somebody comes, how to receive them? First, you invite them and give them a seat and offer them water and speak sweet words, no? This is a very, very good etiquette one has to follow. So that inside that section of Bhagavatam where, like, actually Parikshit Maharaj was very, very upset. Actually, he was not upset because the Kali was sitting in his the crown. He was started to act like that. But in that section, Parikshit Maharaj got angry that he was so thirsty and the sage did not receive him properly and did not give him water. So he was very, very upset. And like, you know, all those pastimes happened there. So this is the etiquette, that how one has to receive the guest, how the host has to honor and the guest has to be received. So this is very, very perfect etiquette. Then, you know, then he was received very with good reception, and they were seated, and then very nicely he started to tell to Kardama Muni, like, you know, you are a Brahmana. Brahmanas come from the head part of the Lord, and you are the Lord brings the Vedic literature in the form of Brahmanas, they come from the head part, and they teach, their duty is to teach the scriptures, and whereas we are the Kshatriyas, we protect. So Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they protect each other in these ways, like all that. There were some exchanges and all that, and after that eventually Swayambhuva Manu told that, I have a daughter, Devahuti, and I want to give her to you in marriage, like that. Then she was really wishing to get a very good husband. I think you are very, very suitable, and you are very so great sage and Brahmana, so I would like to very happily give my daughter in marriage to you. So please accept her, he said. And he also said that, I am also very, very fortunate. I was looking for to have a very good wife, and she is endowed with all the qualities that I was really looking for, and all that, he said. And then so Swayambhuva Manu handed over the daughter, and then he also, then at that time Kardama Muni told to Swayambhuva Manu that this will be agreed only on one condition. After I give the child to Devahuti, then immediately I am going to leave the home. So on that condition, I am ready to go ahead with the marriage. Then Swayambhuva Manu agreed. Then even Devahuti's lifetime, the pastime, like, you know, the girl has to be protected at every stage of life. In the early times, till 25, till she gets married, she's under the protection of the father. And in the middle age, she was under the protection of Swayambhuva Manu. And in the middle age, she was under the protection of Kardama Muni. And at later stage, she was under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as his own son, Lord Kapila Dev. So all these etiquettes were followed very, very perfectly. So then afterwards, he told like that, and then the Swayambhuva Manu went away, and he was feeling very separation because he gave the daughter in marriage, and he was feeling separation. And he was also in one way very happy that he finished his responsibility of marrying his daughter. Then after all that pastimes happened, then the marriage between Kardama and Devahuti, then Devahuti served her husband with great intimacy. She set a perfect example as a how a wife should be. She served the husband with great reverence, like Vishrambhena, Shauchena, Gauravena, Damenacha, Shushrasaya, Sauhrudena, Vacha, Maduraya, Cha, Bhu. So she served her husband with intimacy, with great respect, and the control of her senses, with love, and with sweet words. These days we don't see very many women talking to husband with very sweet words. Especially when the husband comes from the work, that 10-15 minutes is the very testing time for the husband, like, you know, all the arrows will come. So she was talking to husband very, very sweet words. She served him with great respect, with love, and also with intimacy and with great respect and reverence. So this is a perfect Vedic wife, how she set an example. So she served him for a long time. Even she sacrificed her own everything, and she served him. And in the meantime, she became very weak, and, you know, she did so much austerities, and she became weak and emaciated. So all these things happened. Then later on, after some time, then Kardama Muni was very pleased by her service. Then he told her that, I'm very, very pleased by your service. You have become so weak and all. So whatever I got the benefit from the Lord, the benedictions, I'm going to give it to you. Then she said that, I only wish that I have a son. You know, please, I want to have a son. Then Kardama Muni, he said, oh, definitely I will fulfill your desire. Then because he was a mystic yogi with eightfold perfections, he created an aerial mansion. And then Devahuti was really very thin and very, like, you know, so much dirt and all. Then after creating this aerial mansion, in the Bindu Sarovara, he asked her to take bath and then board the that airplane which was created. Then she boarded, and then she went into the Bindu Sarovara. Under the lake there were thousands of girls who were ready, and they were all greeted her very well, and they said, how can we help you? Then they bathed her and cleaned her everything, and they beautified, they put her on her beautiful garments, gold earrings, the necklaces, the chains, the bangles, everything. And then she was anointed with all the tilaka, chandan, everything. They beautified her so beautiful, and they presented all these 10,000 girls, 1,000 girls, they presented Devahuti to Kardama. And Kardama was very happy to see her look so beautiful. She got back her original beauty when she came with Swayambhuva Manu. Then he was very attracted, because that is the way the Vedic system, even when we have a children, the consciousness, the beauty, the proper atmosphere was created, you know, to for them to have a proper proper mix also. So like that, everything was perfect, and they went into the aerial mansion, and everything was perfect situation. And then they had this mix for quite some time, and for a long time they enjoyed in that aerial mansion. And then soon after that, Kardama Muni wanted to leave. Because he gave the Devahuti had 9 daughters first. And then they were all given to 9 great sages in marriage. And after that, Kardama Muni wanted to leave, as he had told. Then Devahuti said that, oh, if you leave me now, I'm alone now, you know. Then she repented so much, I had your association all these days. I only saw you as a husband and I respected you. That's all. But I was so unfortunate that you are so great sage, you are so knowledgeable, you are so great soul, I couldn't take your association properly. So she regretted so much for that. And then she said that now you are leaving me, like, you know, all my 9 daughters will be married and they'll go away, then I'll be left alone like that. Then Kardamuni said that, don't worry. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his plenary portion is going to appear to you, appear in your room, and then he is going to come and disseminate the very, very important knowledge, Sankhya philosophy, and he will remove the knot of this, your attachment to the, whatever you felt that you are very attached, he is going to remove that and he is going to enlighten you with this knowledge. Then afterwards, this Kardama Muni, then after all this, then Lord Brahma arrived. When he knew that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila, had taken his birth, then Lord Brahma appeared. Then he told, Kardama Muni, that you are the perfect son. You completely abided by the order of your father. I am very, very happy you are a perfect son. Because I wanted you to do the service and you have completely satisfied me and you have made me happy. So that is the duty of every son, to follow the order of the father. So you have pleased me in every way. So then he is glorifying Kardama Muni for being a perfect son to follow the order of the father. So that's the duty of every son. So in Bhagavatam also we see so many places where the father gives instruction, and sometimes the sons are following, sometimes like Priyavrata also, they wanted him to again, you know, get into the householder life. He also definitely agreed, because Brahma came and told, he agreed to that proposal. Then there are some instances where they didn't want, like for example, 4 Kumaras were also asked, but then they didn't want to marry, they wanted for the higher purpose. So it's nothing wrong, like either you, it doesn't mean that they have disregarded the father, but still that is also good. So now here in this instance, so Kardama Muni, the Lord Brahma was very, very happy with Kardama Muni that he abided by the orders of the father. Then afterwards, then Lord Brahma told Kardama Muni to marry these 9 daughters to give to like disposition to a great sages and marry them and finish your responsibility. Then the Lord appeared. Then Brahma came and all these things happened. Then this Kardama Muni approached the Lord, and then in a secluded place, then he asked the Lord, now that I have fulfilled all my responsibilities and now that I want to go, leave the home and go, so if you give me permission, then I can leave. I want to be in, I want to leave the home and travel like that. So if you give me permission, then I will go. Then the Lord agreed to do that. Then as long as you remember me, you place me in your heart and travel everywhere and perform pure devotional service, then you can leave home. Then in that part of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that usually why do people leave home? For self-realization, right? But when the Lord himself has appeared in the house, where is the need for him to leave home and go? In that section of Bhagavatam, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, this is the Vedic system. When someone reaches 50 years, they have to renounce and then go home. That is the Vedic system. Pancho dasham vanam rajet. It is said that one has to leave home and then go and do the austerities and then, you know, take the complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not being entangled till the old age, like, you know, being too much entangled in the household life like that. Like the example of Dhritarashtra is there. Dhritarashtra remained in the household life even after doing so much injustices to his brother's children. After doing so many plotting, he encouraged the mischievous activities of his son Duryodhana. They tried to kill the Pandavas in all the 6 ways, and they were the aggressors, you know, they tried to kill them in so many ways and did all these aggressions and all that. During all the time, he encouraged this cruel son, this Duryodhana, and after all the battle was over and all his sons were dead, and he's happily coming and sitting in the house of Yudhishthir Maharaj to whom he did so much injustices and all that, and getting all the favors of the Yudhishthir Maharaj, enjoying the... So that time this Vidura comes to wake him and give him a jolt. What are you doing? You did so much injustice. Don't you feel shamed and sitting in their house and eating the remnants that they are giving you? Come on, get up. You are like a dog, like, you know, sitting like a dog and eating the remnants to whom you have done so much injustice. Don't you feel ashamed? Come on, get up. We have to leave home now, right now. In the night, he told, come on, we have to go. Before the day dawns, we have to go. So like that, you know, one should not remain till the old age, ripe old age, sitting and enjoying, like, you know, attached in the material affairs, family affairs and all. One has to renounce. That is the duty according to Varnashrama Dharma. First 25 years brahmacharya, read, learn under the direction of the spiritual master, serve him, like, you know, do all those services, then controlling the senses by serving the spiritual master and getting knowledge from. So that is the first 25 years. Then the controlling the mind and senses is very well practiced, then enters into the household life. Then even after entering into household life, also don't become very attracted to sense gratification and all, but being a grihastha like that. So here in this, so how, on the contrary, Yudhishthir Maharaj, what did he do? He, at some age, the Pandavas retired timely, 15th chapter of the first canto, he completely, like, you know, when he heard that Parikshit Maharaj was old enough to take over the kingdom, he also retired. Like when he heard that the Lord had disappeared, he went to his own abode. He said that now the Kali has really entered and he sees so many omens and ill. Then he thinks that now is the time that I have to retire. Like, you know, I have to also go back home, back to Godhead. Then all his brothers also followed their footsteps. So like how at an old ripe age one should not still remain in the family bondage and like that. That is the example we are seeing. And not only that, even Prahalad Maharaj is telling, like, you know, Prahlad Maharaj was sent to this Sanda and Amarka to receive the knowledge of this materialistic politics and all that. Then the Prahlad Maharaj agreed, because the father said, wanted to send him, he went there. He said that, okay, I will go. That after he went, he learned the knowledge from the Sanda and Amarka about politics and diplomacy, which teaches one about a friend and an enemy. One is a friend, one is an enemy. He did not like such knowledge, that education at all. He said that I don't want to learn this type of education. Then after he came back to the palace, the Hiranyakashipu, being very affectionate to his son, he put him on his lap and he said, my dear son, with very affectionate words, he said, what did you learn in the school? I sent you to the school. What did you learn from your teachers? Please tell. Then he says this verse, tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhiyam asat grihat hitvatma patam graham andhakupam vanam gato yad dharima shreyeta. Prahalad Maharaj said, oh, best of the asuras, among the asuras he was the best asura, oh king of the demons, right? Best of the demons, oh best of the asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master. What did he learn? Any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up the position and go to the forest vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavana, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was the instruction of Prahalad Maharaj also, that one should not remain in the household till the fag end of one's life. One should renounce and then go, and of course after fulfilling all the responsibilities of his children, getting married and all, one has to leave home and take sannyas and then roam around and finally go in a secluded place and then leave the body, like, not like, you know, live in a very comfort of the household life till the fag end of one's life. So that's what Kardama Muni did. So now coming back to, then afterwards, then he left home, and soon after leaving home, he was traveling, and he observed the Mauna Vrata. Mauna Vrata means speaking. Speaking Mauna Vrata means does not mean that one should stop speaking. One can speak. One should stop speaking the nonsense talks. But it doesn't mean that one should completely stop talking, like even in the nectar of instruction, vacho vegam manasaha krodha vegam. Vacho vegam, one should control the speech, not to talk mundane topics, but one should speak about the glories of the Lord. So in that way, the Kardama Muni observed the Mauna Vrata, completely meditating on the Lord, glorifying, and in pure devotion, he engaged himself in the Lord. And also he became free from the false ego, false identification of the body, and he became self-situated in as a soul, and he became free from false ego. And also here it is said that he performed the transcendental devotional service, para bhakti, like savai pumsham paro dharmo yato bhakti radhoksaje. So Krishna said that this Kardama Muni did pure devotional service. It was para bhakti. And then he understood what is his real constitutional position as being servant of the Lord. Jivera Swarupohe Krishnera Nityadas. He realized that his true identity as being servant of the Lord. So Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Bhrutya. There is only one Supreme Lord and everybody is servitors only. But one can realize that only in transcendental devotional service. When one performs transcendental devotional service, one can realize one's real constitutional position as we are eternal servitor of the Lord. We can never become equal with the Lord. We are eternal servitor of the Lord. So in complete trance, he liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service of the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, and the omniscient supreme super soul within everyone's heart. And then he realized that, and also when we do devotional service, when we offer do the deity worship, also we pray this naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaishyo na shudro naham varnai nacha grahapati kintu prodyan nikhala paramananda purnamrutabde gopi partuhu padakamalayo dasa dasanu dasa. Like this prayer we say, I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, nor am I brahma, any of these. I am your eternal servitor, gopi partuhu padakamalayo dasa dasanu dasa. I am your eternal servitor. With that mood we worship the Lord. We don't think that, you know, you and me are equal, like, you know. We don't think like that. When we did Radha Krishna service for 10 years in this temple, so the first thing when we invite the Lord, we offer this prayers and we do Bhuta Shuddhi prayers. This is called Bhuta Shuddhi prayers. No? We pray to the Lord that I am none of these material things. No, I am only your eternal servant, the soul surrendered to you. With that consciousness, I am your eternal servitor and you are my eternal master. With that mood, we serve the Lord. Even Prahalad Maharaj also, he pray in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord told, please ask me for any benedictions that I can give you. Then you know, I am pleased with your devotional service. So please tell me what I can give you. Then Prahalad Maharaj said, please Lord, I am already born in a demoniac family, attached to the sense enjoyment and material enjoyment. So please don't allure me, don't tempt me with these material illusions. I want to be only your eternal servant. I don't want to be any other relationship with you other than I am your eternal servant and you are my eternal master. I don't want to have any other relationship with you other than this. I don't want to be a mercantile, na? Merchant who does business with the Lord. I give you this, you give me this. I don't want to be such a devotee of you. I want to serve you unconditionally. I don't want to be a merchant. So don't please allure me with this material benedictions, because I am already born in a demoniac family attached to this material enjoyment. Please do not tempt me with this material illusions. And he says that I only pray to you that eternally I be in the association of the pure devotees and don't lose this association. So like this, Prahlad Maharaj also taught very, very beautiful. So here, Kardama Muni, to finish this, so another last part. So he did transcendental devotional service, which pleased the Lord, attracted the Lord right from the beginning. So this pastime is very, very beautiful, that how everything was very, very Vedically done. It was not whimsically done or out of. So this is a perfect example as a being a perfect householder, how one should conduct oneself. Ideal householder, if somebody want to really follow the religious principles, one has to follow in the, take this example of this pastime, which is a perfect married life, how one has to, like how Kardama Muni followed all the ashramas and then he finally attained perfection. And the Lord also tell that at the very end, if you do all this, you will come back to me also, he told. So the respectful dealings, which is so much contrary to the contemporary civilization now, which is like so much, so opposite, you know, this like, you know, so much love marriages, so contrary. There are 8 types of marriages also described, you know, which, so this was a very, very perfect marriage of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. So like that, then finally the Lord instructs Devahuti. Then Devahuti says that my senses are so disturbed by this onslaught, by this material senses are so much disturbed. Please, like, you know, enlighten me. Then the Lord Kapila instructed her in the Sankhya Yoga philosophy, which distinguishes matter and spirit, like with all the material elements, fundamental principles of material nature, everything, how the creation and all like that. Thank you all very, very much for patiently listening. I don't know, this is my very first Bhagavatam class in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. I have given in Canberra, Sydney and all, but somehow here, somehow I thought I was not very qualified, but somehow Sukadev Prabhu very, very mercifully, like actually today it was not my turn at all. It was Gangeshwar Prabhu's turn. Because he was not well, yesterday afternoon I got a call from Sukadev Prabhu and asked, then I said, I'm a bit nervous, I never did in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. But then Prabhu said, okay, then I agreed, then it was Lord's desire, maybe I thought like that, then I agreed. And last night for 5 hours I had plucked so much jasmine and I was doing garland for Radharani hair and hand garland. So it took about 5 hours and I didn't leave, there was no time for me to read actually. That, but as I was doing garlands, I was listening to Burijan Prabhu's lectures on the same section of Bhagavatam, which gave me lots of good points. So I was listening, so that then in the night, by the time I finished garlands, I was very, very exhausted because yesterday morning, whole afternoon, I was in the temple. But then in the morning, I woke up very early, used that Brahma Muhurta time to read these wonderful pastimes and could speak something. I don't know by how I spoke, what I spoke. Please, any questions, Sadar, if I can answer. Thank you. Correct. Yeah, it was a grandson, no? Grandson, you get grandson Prahlad Maharaj, because Kashyapa Muni's sons were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu got the son Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj, there is another pastime there actually. Why Prahlad Maharaj was born to demoniac family? He was born like there was a. Is it okay, Prabhu? Time is okay. Actually, what happened was, there's a pastime before, what happened was, there was one Brahmin family who had like 8 sons, very, very Vedic, Vedavid Brahmin, very good cultured family, and they had like 8 sons, I think, and the last son was Prahlad Maharaj, and all other sons, they followed very righteous path of the father, and you know how the family culture was, they followed everything, but Prahlad Maharaj was very, very different from the all other sons, and he was not following anything. He was very spoiled child. So he was mixing with not good-charactered women and all like that. So once what happened, when he had mixed this with this lady who was not good character like that, what happened? There was a fight between them. And all night they were fighting. They were fighting, fighting, fighting. You know, they in that fighting they forgot to eat also. So on that day, somehow it was happened to be Narsimha Chaturdasi. And unknowingly they fasted because they were involved in so much fighting. They didn't even think of eating. There was fighting, fighting going on, and all night passed. And somehow even that bhakti is so powerful, even done with unconsciously also, like, you know, because on that day he was not even aware that it was Narsimha, because he was so deviant in his practice. He was not doing anything that he had was to, but because it was Narsimha Chaturdasi, he fasted on that night. Even unknowingly, bhakti, even doing unknowingly, can lead so much good things. Then what to speak if somebody does it with consciously and knowing, can be even more so perfect. The example of that rat also, it pushes the ghee wicks and, you know, it gets the light is. That is one example. And this Vattapakshi knows, it was like the dog was chasing this bird and it was circumambulating the temple of Vishnu, no? Because it was circumambulating, he went home, when the dog chased, and he went back home, back to God. So even bhakti is so powerful, even unconsciously done, can yield so much benefit. So somehow that pastime is, so he says that there are two things. Actually, Kashyapa Muni will tell to Diti, at that time only, that he, because Diti, after doing this activity, she feels very ashamed. She comes and sees with a very shy face to Kashyapa Muni. She will understand that what she has done is a very wrong thing. She will look, she will put her face down and she will be looking at Kashyapa Muni. But Kashyapa Muni will tell her that the activity that we have done this wrong time can have very bad impact. We will get two very demoniac sons who can be very, very not good. But at the same time, the good thing is the son of this Hiranyaka, our grandchild, will be a pure devotee of the Lord, like that. So even that in the Prahlad Maharaj, that section of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj teachings, the schoolmates, because Prahlad Maharaj preaches to the schoolmates, that time the schoolmates will ask, how did you learn all this knowledge? From where did you get all this knowledge? Because you were born in a palace and you didn't even go out, you didn't meet anybody. How did you get this all this transcendental knowledge that you are importing to us? The schoolmates, they ask Prahlad Maharaj. Then Prahlad Maharaj start to relate everything, how he got this transcendental knowledge. He says that when my father... Then they ask at the very end of that chapter, they'll ask this question. And the next chapter, the Prahlad Maharaj will begin to say what actually happened. So when his father, Hiranyakashipu, went to Mandarachala mountain to do severe austerities to become immortal, and in his absence, all the demigods headed by Indra, they go and attack and they start to beat all the demons who are the associates of this Hiranyakashipu. They start to bang and demolish everything and hit everything, do all this chaos. That right, and then they start arresting this Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. Come on, you will be under our protection till till your child is born. They will arrest this. They will bind. That means they will take Kayadu into their custody. We won't let, till the child is born, she will be under our custody, like that. Then Narad Muni will come and tell, what are you people doing, Indra? She is a completely sinless lady. She has not done anything wrong. She is totally innocent and she is completely sinless. Why you are arresting her? Then they said, no, no, no. In the womb of this lady, there is the seed of this great demon, you know. Till that child is delivered, we cannot release her from like that. The seed of this great demon is there. Till then, we will not. Then Narad Muni told, do you think in the womb of this lady, there is a great demon? You are very mistaken. You cannot bind them. You cannot kill that boy. He is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot kill him under any circumstances. So you better release her. Because, see, this is the difference between the demons and demigods. In the 16th chapter of Gita, Divine and Demoniac Natures, the Lord explains what is divine qualities and what are demoniac qualities. So here, when Indra was told by Narada Muni that you have to release this very sinless and pious lady, you have to release her, immediately Indra agreed to that. Why? Because they are devas. They give respect to the sages. They abide by the instruction of the sage. You release her means they release. Why? And you know, when they heard that in the womb of this lady, there's a pure devotee of the Lord, guess what? They not only released Kayadu, they circumambulated this lady. Why? Because this pure devotee is there in the womb of this lady. So they circumambulated this lady out of respect of this pure devotee. So this is the divine nature, you know, when the sage came and told. So there are some people who are very divine, like for example, the son of Parikshit Maharaj, also Janamejaya, right? He was very, very angry when his father was killed by this Takshaka snake, no? So he wanted to do some Sarpa Yagna. He wanted to bring all the snakes in the world and put in the fire, like, you know, he wanted to do Sarpa Yagna. So he was doing so much arrangements for all that. In the process, one Agastya Muni, or one Muni, he'll come and tell, don't do this. Why? You have already put so many snakes, so you have already incurred so much sin. Don't do this. Like, you know, it's not good to do this. Means he immediately abided. So this is the caliber of this good people. No, even though they are sometimes ignorant, when somebody enlightens them, they become very sane. Whereas demoniac people, they are so destructive. Even if somebody tells, they don't listen to good instructions. So like even this, like in the whole Kurukshetra war, what happened? They did so much injustices. Actually, many people, they said, what sort of God is yours? He encouraged bloodshed, killing so many thousands of people. He wanted to see bloodshed. Is this the type of God you worship? Actually, Krishna didn't. Nobody wanted this bloodshed at all. But the extent of impiety of this Kauravas, Krishna wanted to bring the balance, irreligion to remove and then bring the balance. That's why he said that this war has to happen. Even when the Lord himself went as a peace machine, as a peace messenger, they could not recognize. Why? Because of the impiety. They were so impious. So they cannot heed to this good instruction. They said that at least give 5 villages. Actually, they were supposed to get the whole kingdom. They even didn't even ask half. They asked only 5. Even that also. Then they said that they were so much bent. They said that even the needle, that much also we will not give. So this impiety was so much that then the war had to happen. And then Dhritarashtra asked Krishna, what did I do so much wrong that I had to suffer this great lamentation of all my children dying in the battlefield? What did I do so much bad sin that I had to undergo this great suffering of all the 100 sons dying in the battle? Then Lord Krishna said that you are just seeing this birth and death as this one lifetime only. You have to see the so many lifetimes before. In the last 50th birth, you were a hunter. You killed 100 birds in front of their parents and you caused so much agony and distress to the parents. And then you are getting that reaction now. Then he said that how come I got 100 sons? Even to get 100 sons is not very easy. One has to have so much piety. Then he said that after you killed that last 50th, you did all that. After that you were doing good activities and you accumulated piety. So you got this 100 sons. And now you are getting the reaction of that last 50th birth. Whatever you did, you are getting that reaction now. So this karma is very intricate. Krishna says in Gita 4th chapter, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. We can never tell why things happen to who, why it happens. All this we don't know. We are only seeing one life. Why do bad things happen to good people? We are only seeing this life. But there are so many back lives, so much we would have done that we will be suffering. That's what here in the last part of this purport today, which we did. Another word mentioned is Sarvagne. The super soul sitting within the heart of all is all cognizant. He knows I may forget my past activities due to the change of the body. But because the Supreme Lord, as Paramatma, is sitting within me, He knows everything. Therefore, the result of my past karma or past activities is awarded to me. I may forget, but He awards me suffering and enjoyment for the misdeeds of the good deeds of my past life. But the Lord awards whether we did good or bad. He, as the Paramatma, He has witnessed, He gives us according to what we deserve. So He is the supreme judge. That's what the word is used. He is the supreme judge who can give punishment or reward according to one's what they deserve. I don't know whether I answered your question. I will answer in detail. So, but the Prahlad Maharaj also, that was the reason he got, and also he says that these two things happened. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.